You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
It's a new day, and I'm Rhett Palmer. His name is Fred Popple. I've known Fred for at least 14 years of his life. Actually, 15. It'll be coming up 15 in March. And welcome to the show. This is the first time you've been on my broadcast?
It is.
It's wonderful to have you here.
Thank you.
He's a delightful, soft-spoken man. Looks you square in the eye, and you can count on Fred Popple to get the job done. He works as a handyman now. He's worked at some other jobs throughout his life. But right now, kind of like, not really retired, but semi-retired. Kind of like me. Retired,
yes.
But not real. Can't afford to be retired. But anyway, Fred said, God did not forget him, but he thought God would forget him, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so you always believed, you said, in the Lord.
Did. Yes.
Grew up, but you really didn't have a close relationship.
I did not.
You weren't important enough or...
Well, yeah, that's what it was.
Pretty yeah. Much,
you know, I was raised in the church, so to speak. Went to church on Sundays, you know, growing up.
Yeah.
But over the course of time and, you know, things I had done, you know, and that things weren't getting any better, you know.
As in sin or...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then God just, I felt... You know, they want to put any more time into me. You know?
Yeah.
That's not at all the case. Did put time.
Yeah. So tell us about your story, because I know you're in recovery.
Uh-huh.
And you also believe in Jesus Christ, and now you have a close, intimate relationship with him. Am I right about that?
Yes.
Okay. So let's go to the beginning. When did you start over drinking?
Oh, gosh. I actually started drinking probably heavily around 16.
16.
Yes. I had gone to Europe in the summer before my 11th and 12th grade years in between for 35 days. Basically, the laws over there are a little different because we didn't get carded any time.
No.
And not at 16.
This was where in Europe?
In Europe, England, France, Germany.
And in the pubs for some of those brown beers?
That's it. That's it. You know, the Guinness, you know, they drink it room temperature. They don't drink it cold.
Huh. How did you like that?
It's different. It's okay. Yeah. It's not bad. It tastes better. It does taste better for me warm.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
or room temperature, so to speak.
I don't like brown beer. But then again, I don't drink. But
right. I don't drink anymore. So, but, yeah. And it never got any better. It just never got any better. It got more and more, you know, and it just got to the point where I would, you know, days go on and I would get up in the morning. First thing I was doing was grabbing a beer. It just went on like that all day long. I didn't really have drinking spells. I was in one big spell the whole time. I'll be honest, I don't know what social drinking is. I have no idea what that is. Because, you know, I socially drink today. But it's water and Coca-Cola if you drink socially.
Like
but
our
I don't
coffee
think,
today.
Yeah, exactly.
You're going home with your Vero's Voice coffee cup.
I am today.
Porcelain.
Uh-huh, absolutely. But so social drinking, really, if we think about that, what is it? You know, why do you have to be drinking alcohol to be social drinking? Why couldn't it be a Coca-Cola or a coffee or something to be
Were
social?
Were you awkward?
I wasn't. Yeah, I think so. I think I was pretty awkward.
I think most of us are when we're teens, aren't we?
Yeah, I was. I didn't, but I had a lot of friends growing up, you know, but it was all because of the people that knew my dad. My dad was Gordon Popple, assistant principal of high school at the time.
Oh.
So I knew a lot of people with that, just because of that alone. But I didn't really gain.
Did you have any friends that said they were friends with you because if they got in a little bit of trouble, they figured you had a voice with your dad? Can you give me some mercy? Did that happen? I'm sure it must have.
I didn't really have anybody come to me and ask me that, or talk to me about that, you know, but I'm sure, there were a few that did that, you know,
wow.
Over time. I'm sure of that. But because of that, I wasn't comfortable, you know, around a lot of people. I don't know why.
Why? No?
Just because I was popular and didn't. Because my dad, and it bothered me. I mean, it really did.
Like, kind of feeling like you didn't earn it.
Huh? Yeah,
that even that young, you felt that.
Oh yeah, it just felt very. It wasn't a comfortable feeling, you know. So once I started drinking, some of that went away. I was more comfortable, so I just ended up living that way, you know, which was alcohol first thing in the morning, alcohol last thing at night, all day long. Hey, I did that.
Not to the point where you were drunk, but you got so used to it that you felt enough that you didn't feel, but not so much that you couldn't walk and talk?
No.
They're called functioning alcoholic, right?
I was a functioning alcoholic. I sure was.
Yeah.
You know, I should have gotten DUI many times, but I didn't drive that badly. You know, that kind of thing. It across, you know, I was responsible, so to speak. Other than I was drinking, I shouldn't have been driving. But I should have had lots of. So, but God intervened in that, and it never happened for me. So,
those are even more severe today. I mean, you're looking at a minimum of $15,000 for court fees, lawyer fees.
The first time I got stopped, I was drinking. The officer told me, get my car, follow me.
Oh, mercy.
Yeah. That was, of course, now, you know, that's 30-something years ago, 40 years ago. But today, of course, it's different. It does, like you say, $15,000 easy, and you'll lose your job. You know, all this kind of stuff happens today. But so the day that I decided to come in and stop drinking, I knew about Alcoholics Anonymous, but I didn't want to be a part of it. No, I didn't, you know.
I don't want to be part of that.
Nah, I didn't.
Why? I'm better than that. I'm not sleeping under a bridge.
Right. But I'd also done some drugs, too, in my life.
Yeah.
And this particular day,
well, this was the 60s. You had long shoulder length hair, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. I did all that.
Yeah.
And the day I came into recovery, I had started obsessing over this particular drug that I had just done a few times, and that scared me.
Mm.
I knew a few people that had actually died quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So,
do you mind telling what that drug was?
Yeah, what?
Heroin? Cocaine? Speed? No,
It's the white stuff they smoke.
I think it's cocaine.
No, yeah, it's cocaine, but it's not. They don't call it cocaine.
Crack.
And that.
I had a young man in here. Young man. Nobody's young. Everybody's young to me. Al Black. He's a famous black man who, you know, the highwaymen, they wouldn't allow them to show their art in galleries because of the color of skin. How stupid is that? But anyway, so they sold paintings out of the trunks of their car. Well, anyway, he's been very successful at that. Well, he said he was sitting right where you're sitting, and he said that he'd gotten addicted to crack cocaine. He said, have you ever tried it, Red? I said, no, I've never tried that stuff. He said, well, it's a horrible addiction. It's worse than heroin. It's worse than cigarettes. It's worse than anything. And he said he was totally addicted. And he said he was in his prison cell, and he said, Jesus, a big ball of light came into his in his prison cell, and he got born again to Jesus, and Jesus instantaneously, totally and absolutely delivered him from the addiction to crack cocaine.
Wow.
Call upon the name of Jesus, and you shall be saved. So you were into crack cocaine.
Well, only for a couple of weeks.
But enough to know.
Well, I was enough to know, he's talking about that addiction, that feeling, that it was really tough, hard. It was eating up. So that day, I was thinking, that meeting's at that Newport Club at noon.
How'd you know about that?
I'd been there one time before.
Oh, for the AA meeting.
Yes.
So you didn't want to be with the AAs, but at least you were testing the waters.
Well, I did. You know, 4 years earlier. I was there for about a year.
4 years earlier. But you remembered it.
And
like running real fast.
It's night and day. I mean, he's right there. You know, that's simple.
How old were you at this time when you came in?
40.
Oh, you're in your 40s?
Yeah, 40.
So you drank from the time you were 16 into your 40s.
Uh-huh.
That's a long time.
It's a long time.
That's a lot of beers. Is that all you drank for beers?
That's pretty much. You know, I did drink other stuff, but that was my primary thing.
Yeah.
Easy to do. Keep it in the car.
Did you get married?
I did.
Children?
I have two children.
Wonderful.
Two children. Two beautiful girls. Very successful.
You know, yeah.
They love their life. And, of course, I love them, too, you know, big time.
They're
my... my everything.
Yeah. You know, did they know you when you were drinking?
They did. But it's very last few years, because they were like 9 and 11 or something when I came over.
Oh, that's young, yeah.
You know, so they knew me before that.
Yeah.
And we didn't have such a great relationship. Once her mom and I separated and divorced, it was a relationship, but it wasn't really that great.
Now, after you got sober, Yeah, today
but
was.
Today it's just like, we have the greatest, they call me up for advice and suggestion. I mean, all the time. Of course, for a dad, that's just like nothing better than that. You know?
Well, you know, saying that, I was often wondered why Saul lost his kingship, because he consulted a fortune teller. And for that very reason that you're just saying there right now, your face lit up when you said, they call me, there's nothing better for a dad. Well, imagine you're God, and you create children, and you say, they're going to a fortune teller? Are you kidding me? You know, consulting demonic forces? You know, you want to get the ire of God. That's an abomination, because you come to me, I'm your father in heaven. So he is, it says that he is a jealous God. He's jealous for us. His love is so profound.
It's incredible.
Yeah, so you know how God felt. So now your daughters, they come to you?
Mm-hmm. With questions and wanting me to suggest things. And I mean, they're everything, right? That means a lot to me.
Pardon me?
It means a lot to me.
Oh, yeah.
No, I mean.
You're a rich man to have those daughters.
Oh, man.
There's one thing I would pass on to youth, it would be, do not hesitate to get married and have children.
Absolutely.
And you will find it later in life. A lot of miserable people with a lot of dough. You can have dough and be happy.
Sure.
A lot of money, but a lot of the time, you know, if you put that above family, put that above God, you're going to be miserable.
Sure. Absolutely.
And they don't even know it half the time. I can meet somebody with a lot of money. I love people. My tail wags. I'm like a puppy dog. I just love people. But all of a sudden, I'll meet somebody. And let's say this guy and I, you know, we're having a nice conversation. But then it stops at a certain point, and I know that he's prosperous. He has no need of my friendship. Remember Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit? Because if you know you have need of God, you know that you're poor in spirit. If you're not poor in spirit and you think you got it together without God, he's just going to let you go your own way.
That's it. Test it yourself.
Come back to me when you find out that you're not the center of the universe.
That's it. Exactly right.
Yeah. So I can see why God would be jealous. So anyway, so you have a good relationship with your children now.
I do, and with the Lord, you know, and I've worked the program of Alcoholics Anonymous the best I can. Not a saint by any means. Don't try to be. Just do the best I can.
I think we're supposed to, I don't know, are we allowed to say that, or are we supposed to refer to it as a 12-step program? I'm not sure. Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Rhett Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9 FM.
I was blinded. You gave me eyes to see. I was going under. You reached out to me. No, there's nothing you won't do to pick me up and pull me through every hour, 8 days a week. Yeah. Your love is like a fountain. It'll never run dry. It'll never run dry. Your love.
Alexander Alfano inviting you to listen to the Religious Liberty Report, our weekly news brief on Religious Liberty News on WCNO 89.9 FM at 1 p.m. on Saturday afternoons. Hope to see you there.
Frustrations and rivers and down, now I'm traveling light, my spirit lifted high. I found my freedom now, and I'm traveling light, down by the riverside. I lay my burdens down, now I'm traveling light, my spirit lifted high. I found my freedom now, and I'm traveling light, down by the riverside. I lay my burdens down, now I'm traveling light, my spirit.
This is Keith Masters, a street witness, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. The goodness of God is exemplified many times over in the Bible. God wants us all to know how much he loves us. In John 3:16, Jesus tells us, "For God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall have everlasting life." In Luke chapter 11, verses 11 through 13, Jesus says, "If a son shall ask bread of any of you, that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more should your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" In 3 John verse 2, it says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou may prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers." Psalm 145 verse 16 tells us, David writes, "You open your hands and satisfy the desire of every living thing." And Psalm 16 verse 11, David writes again, "You make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy, and in your righteous right hand are pleasures forevermore." In the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 28 to 33, Jesus says, "Why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell all of you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Job chapter 42, verse 10 tells us, "After Job had prayed for his friends, the Lord restored his fortunes and gave him twice as much as he had before. The Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the former." That's 42, verse 12. In Romans chapter 9, "If you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." This is Keith Masters, a street witness, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ.
Jesus, your presence has been so sweet today. That's really why we gather here every week. Because there has been a fresh oasis of the river of God by your grace that has been poured out. Not one of us wants to stay where we're at, though. We want so much more. We want life-transforming glory. We're holding on to you, Lord, for the new thing.
Oh, come, Holy Spirit. washed before I knew my shame. Oh, the Lamb was slain before the earth was laid. What an awesome price He paid. I owe it all to Jesus, all, every part of me.
God, I hear your voice, all the things. things I know now. I wish I knew. I tried so hard, did all I could do. Now I hear a voice die. God, I hear a voice. So
I'm not afraid to die. From sunny South Florida, and I'd like to share with you some exciting things that God is doing in the world of arts and entertainment. Join me now for A Heart for Hollywood. Proverbs 27:11 says, "Be wise, my son, and bring joy to my heart." Bringing joy to God's heart. I'd always interpreted that verse to mean, if I'm godly, I'll have some sort of joy. No, when I'm following God, it makes him happy. He gets joy by seeing his children being wise, using and applying the instruction that he's given us. As a teacher, I feel joy when my students are applying the wisdom that I've given them. That brings me joy. As parents, we feel such joy when we see our kids following our instruction, when we see them learning how to walk, how to ride a bike. Everything that we've taught them, when we see it in fruition, it makes us feel joy. God's a creator. And in the beginning, he created our earth. He created us, and it gave him joy. He felt it was good. He felt it was very good. And it says in Job that the angels celebrated with him over his creation. So when he's creating something good, it brought joy. When we're creating something good, it brings him joy. God honoring films and music bring God joy. When we, as his children, make choices to attend God honoring films, to play God honoring music, these things give him joy because we're making wise choices. He has joy in seeing us learn. He has joy in seeing us make wise decisions. So when we go to see a movie, let's make some wise choices. I think you're going to find joy along the way too. I saw Jesus Revolution, and it was so uplifting, so fun, a true story.